Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. That was big. That was really big. This week we will review Don't Breathe. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts. Then we'll go into a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going to talk about the season finale of Loki.
And I'll talk about that with my brand new microphone.
Oh, should we talk about that first?
John upgraded his microphone, doesn't know how to use it, and he's also disappeared on the green screen.
He did.
Oh, there I am. Oh, man. Just got to wave my hand.
It's magical powers. Similar to Loki.
Very similar to Loki.
How can we start this conversation? Because I feel like there's a lot we could talk about.
We can start with Richard E. Grant was my very favorite this part of the show, and he didn't have a lot to do.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also like
he went out so cool. But yeah,
I really liked Alligator Loki. Star.
Yeah, he was the best too.
Star of the whole series.
I feel bad that the kid kind of sucked. He had like the personality of like an egg sandwich, you know, like.
Yeah.
They were all very Loki-like, and he was like the least Loki-like.
He was a ham and egger kind of actor.
Yeah. Real meat and potatoes type of actor.
Yeah, yeah. So what are your overall thoughts? And then we could talk about, I mean, at this point, by the time the show comes out in like a month, it won't matter. The ending and the direction of the MCU.
I'm going to say I'm very excited for Jonathan Majors to come out and do more, you know, because even though he was in the last episode for what I would consider an uncomfortable amount of time, because usually when you introduce like the main bad person of like your series, it's never for that long. He was almost the whole episode.
Yeah.
But he was fucking fantastic. I thought he was great. I'm so stoked to see what he does. I don't know if you've seen, the internet has already spliced together the finale for WandaVision and for Loki, and it times up almost perfectly.
I did see that. I'm not convinced they're the same, but I understand why that. I understand what they were trying to accomplish, but.
Yeah. So if that's the case, if like Wanda is the real reason, right, that the timeline is breaking up again?
I think it was, what's her face? His female version. I forget her name.
Sylvie?
Sylvie, yeah. I think she kicked off the whole...
Oh, well, yes, right? Like, because she was... They were saying she was right in killing him. Because it was going to happen no matter what. But right. What I'm saying is when Wanda... like is able to fire back at Agatha. That seems to line up according to the videos, right? But you're not totally convinced, right?
I'm
but
not. Yeah.
It seems to line up with when what's his name? Not Kang, but what's his name? Lawrence something or
let's call him Kang. Just for the sake
let's call
of
him Kang. Yeah. When he's talking to him and then he just like stops. And then he's just kind of like looking around, confused, right?
Yeah.
That would be interesting if it does line up on purpose when Wanda decides that. Because also at the end of it, remember, she starts to hear the kids again. Mm-hmm. So we don't know if that's one of the timelines branching off also.
Right. That's true. That's true.
So that'd be pretty fun. If what Wanda and let's say like Ant-Man are the only people that can truly defeat Kang.
Yeah, because
you know,
yeah, it's interesting. I kind of saw this. I read less into it, and I think it's kind of like what I think they're gonna do is he's just gonna appear in everything, right? Like Kang is gonna be
randomly,
yeah, because it's like there's thousands of Kangs got created at once, right? Because of Sylvie's choice, right? She chose to kill him. So I think there's just going to be Kangs everywhere. Some are going to be good. Some are going to be evil. We're going to get the Kang. What was it? The purple face Kang. We're going to get all these different variations of Kang now just pop up for this, like, I'm assuming this cycle of, and maybe pop up later, you know what I mean? And just like throw away stuff. I kind of feel like they made it.
Oh, yeah.
They made it sort of like he's infinite now, right? Like, cause it, which is actually kind of clever because that's who the character is in the books. You know what I mean? There's like,
right, yeah.
Kind of, that's actually kind of a fun way to kind of get to that point. Now, I don't know what that means for Ant-Man. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming we're getting Kang. Somebody pointed out, I don't know if it's true or not, but in the Quantum Realm, his little castle appears or whatever, his home. In the quantum
that's
realm.
What I was wondering. Yeah, I do remember seeing that randomly in the second Ant-Man, right?
I believe I so. Yes, yeah. Somebody said that it's in there as a Easter egg. So there may be a version of Kang there, hiding.
Right? Hiding, because, yeah. True. Or it could have been him. I guess it could have been that version of Kang also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm just confused as to why the Fantastic Four haven't been introduced yet.
Right.
I think like they're the main, the Reed Richards is the person that stops Kang, right? With the ultimate nullifier again.
Right. Right.
I think
you're right.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to introduce them. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
And it's weird that now this allows, Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans to come back and,
mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of opens up that, like, maybe we get like a bad guy version of these people.
Yeah, I think it's really unique that they decided, well, I don't even know if this is going to happen or not, but like Kang is going to be like their main villain going forward. Because I believe on the TV series, these sort of Disney Plus shows, it's going to be Secret Invasion. They're building towards Secret Invasion, I think.
Oh, which they've been kind of doing already, right?
Yeah. And, so I'm assuming this is a sort of kind of a way into some of the movies going forward now. So that, I think that's interesting. It's unprecedented. It's really interesting that they would start with their villain on this show and then sort of work them into the movies. So,
and I guess they're saying you're not going to meet the Kang that we're supposed to like be afraid of fully until Ant-Man.
That's my thought. I don't know. It's all, I'm not sure how any of it's going to work now. We may meet two Kangs, right? We could meet a Kang in Doctor Strange. We could meet a different Kang in Ant-Man now. Like, it could just be different characters.
We already met a Kang in the Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah.
So there's Kangs everywhere.
There's Kangs everywhere. But what is your, now that the show's wrapped, what is your overall thought, like your overall opinion of the show?
I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it did the same thing WandaVision did, where it started off as like a different show, kind of promising a sort of different idea of what, you know, it's supposed to be like real lighthearted and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got like real serious. And as soon as it gets serious, like all of a sudden for me, it like almost dulls out until the very end.
Yeah, I similarly agree. I think there was a lot of interesting, cool things. I'm not sure that it works as a TV show. But I thought there were a lot of interesting things they've never introduced before, and how any of it works. But some of the actual, like, episode to episode, I thought were weaker than, more likely than most of them were weaker. It was just sort of building, but as a whole series, I'm kind of curious. I'm surprised there's going to be a second season of this. I thought this was it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting.
I just think people really love Tom Hiddleston.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I will say, though, like, I don't, if this is supposed to be the same Loki, I feel like he became overly sensitive. Like, he was
right
too emotional, too kind, like, really gave in to, like, and I was being understanding with the whole him saying that his brother really did love him, and that's the last thing he felt before he died in the future timeline, mm-hmm. or, like, what should have been his future. But up until that point, when he gets arrested after the Tesseract, he was still, like, a real bad fucking guy.
Like, yeah.
You know? I don't know.
I think you're right. Like, this is the Loki right after the Avengers movie, and he who got to peek at what his future would be, and now him dealing with that and all the this other stuff that happened during the show, he's different now, right? Like, this is a way to keep a very popular character and actor on the, you know, in the MCU, and he didn't actually die, and it's but still gives weight to the his death in I think he died in Endgame, right? It still gives weight to yes. to it, you know. Or did he die in the first one? Fuck. Was it
Endgame? No, he died in the first one, sorry.
Infinity Wars, right?
Yes, he died in Infinity Wars. He died before the snap.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So it's
He got a snap, but it wasn't.
Yeah. So it's a way to, like, keep the character going and not necessarily have him directly involved with anything unless it's somehow important to the plot they're trying to get to. So,
which is fine, but I'm also like, there wasn't enough. He could have been nude more, you know, to really get the show going.
More kissing Owen Wilson on the mouth. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. I was talking to my partner about how it's kind of funny. The two brothers, like Owen and Luke Wilson, it doesn't matter what they're in.
Yeah.
You give it like 10 minutes and then you're just sold because they're such like great natural actors and they're so likable all the time.
Yeah, I think that was one of the positives from this show, Owen Wilson. It was nice to see him in something like this, because he just, like you said, he just has like a natural charm acting quality to him that is just the way he delivers lines, I find interesting. He just has a charisma or whatever that just like laid back. He reminds me a lot of Texas too. He's kind of laid back, kind of funny guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he definitely has that in even his performances, even in something like as silly as like time travel and all this other stuff. Like, he still, his way of acting still shines through his part. So that was fun to watch.
Yeah, that was good. So, I mean, overall for a finale, I think I liked it.
Same. I thought I was okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, all right, well, let's see what the next thing is. You know,
right? Yeah, because it was really, I mean, a cliffhanger like that is a little annoying, you know.
Yeah,
I kind of wish it was more of like an after credits thing as opposed to like,
yeah,
happening immediately. But
I also, I'm really happy that they're low key trying to like putting together the Young Avengers. That was not a pun, intended pun.
But that's good.
But yeah, they're putting together Young Avengers. They're all kind of there, so that's cool. You know, I'm a sucker for teen teams, so
that's true. Yeah, that's why. Hopefully, when they do the Teen Titans movie, Ray Fisher. Well, no, I don't know if
Ray Fisher. Oh, but, Ray Fisher Cyborg, would not be a part of it.
Yeah, yeah. Cyborg would just be younger for no reason, right?
Or not involved at all because he's not a.
According to like where we're at in the DCEU, we're not gonna get, well, we might get Jason Todd. Right?
Yeah,
we might get Damian Wayne.
Fuck,
I don't know about Dick Grayson. I don't know, you know, it's weird.
It's super
weird.
They
really jumped ahead.
Yeah, I don't think,
and just list off all the things they did wrong already, right?
Yeah, I don't think they have. I don't think Warner Brother has the balls to make a straight up like teen Titan movie. Like, no cynicism, just straight ahead. I mean, I don't think they have it in them, because they're supposed to be like, you know, fun and lighthearted, but still like superhero stuff. Like, I don't know. I think they would try to make it too epic, or, you know, try to ground it and try to make them like have
kind of like the Titans.
Kind of like the Titans show.
Yeah. Which is, I like it, but yeah, it's not lighthearted it's whatsoever.
Gotten way better. Like,
yeah.
From the season to season, like, it's improved. And I can't say that I saw the trailer. There's a lot of stuff that I have a lot of issues with, but we'll see. We'll wait and see.
It'll be good. And then that's us talking about Loki. And
that's
finale.
Loki.
Also, we skipped a week of recording, folks, so we're a little rusty.
We are, yeah. Forget our rambling.
I forgot we were recording for a second.
Awesome. So next we have a little ditty, a little song from the Honk Man himself.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard from the Honk Man in a minute.
The Honk Man. Yeah, he has this. I think it's better to just less intro and just let's just hear it. Let's just absorb what it is that he's doing. And then we'll come back. We'll talk about it after.
Remember me? I'd say I'd never do something anymore. Well, I've got something new to say. And that's pretty much that. I don't give a... Hong Kong! Hong Kong! Hong Kong! Hong Kong! Hong Kong! You think you know me and who I was? Now I'll tell you what I've become. A phoenix goose with a lion's wings. A freaking king hole who certainly doesn't give a freak. I gave away my worst years. Even though my show and wigs are the best year, I'm here to tell you how it's gonna be. I don't give a freak. I don't give a Hong Kong. I don't give a Hong Kong. I don't give a Hong Kong. I don't give a
holy shit, Mr. Punk Goose over here. What was that? Are there any like writing credits on this thing? Are there any who did like all the stuff? Like who's in his band?
Jimmy? No, yeah, just Jimmy. All of it. He did all of it.
Just Jimmy.
Wrote it, produced it, sang it. He learned guitar, he learned percussion. He did everything. He learned it all on the fly.
Is this all because of a heartbreak? What?
Heartbreak generally is a catalyst for amazing music, yes.
Damn, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what year did that come out? Does it say?
Yeah, 19 or something.
Definitely the 1900s. Interesting.
Definitely so happened. Assuming
late 80s, 90s maybe?
The last 100 years, it's definitely happened. It's timeless. It's what it is. It's timeless. There's no time.
He doesn't give a Hong Kong, you know?
Yeah.
I think you made that very clear.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, man.
Really, really
have
cool
we checked?
Stuff.
Is this guy still alive?
Yeah. Yeah, we you think he is alive. West Covina is what we're saying.
Oh, shit. He's still in West... I mean, that's why I asked if he was still alive. If he's living in West Covina, he might
who knows?
Be shot
yeah.
already.
Shot already, yeah.
Yeah. Just kidding. West Covina is a great place.
Yeah.
If anybody's listening from West Covina. San Bernardino, on the other hand.
It's a death trap.
Okay.
All right. Interesting. Excellent.
I actually really like that song, I think.
I really loved it, too. It rocks.
Sound like a dad more and more.
I know. It rocks.
I was like, my block was almost knocked off. How hard that rocked.
Yeah, dude. I got the devil horns up all the way.
sleeveless shirt. Wait, you're bald with a beard, and you're trying to look.
I'm ready to drop my kids off at the concert,
and then go to the pit.
Go to the pit. Yeah, show the kids what's up.
Just smacking around little kids, and then one just like lightly taps your back. You're like, oh, I'm out. I'm out.
I'm out.
You threw on my back.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right.
All right. We should get to this film.
Don't breathe. All right. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
I sure do. And then I'll say something that will hopefully give my opinion on the film in general.
Yeah.
But I got three.
Three. Just the best. The best ones.
Coming in at number three for Don't Breathe by Fede something.
Alvarez.
Alvarez. I don't know anybody named Alvarez. So.
No, neither do I.
No one whatsoever. Coming in at number three, only non-white is very problematic.
Only non-white is very problematic.
Yeah, there was like only one non-white dude in the entire film, and he was the most problematic person in the entire film.
The
did you even catch it? He wasn't white. Of the three people, the dude that cursed a lot and like the dumber one of the three.
Money? I'm looking at their names.
Yeah, money. He's like
what is
from Costa Rica or something?
Costa Rican, yeah. Nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I was like, oh, of course they're gonna make him the guy like that, right?
I thought he was white. I honestly couldn't tell. But interesting, yeah.
I did too, and I really wanted him to be white just because I was like, don't make like the one brown dude this person. All right, fine, whatever. All right. Coming in at number two, you should have respected elders. Never would have happened.
Never would have.
And coming in at number one, I have The Power of Boners Kills. If dude wasn't so horny. No, he was in love, right? He was in love, quote unquote.
Yeah. I thought for sure during this segment, when I was thinking this afternoon, that we would get hardcore Daredevil. No? So.
Oh, that's true. oh, man, that would give it away, right? But like, a non-rapist Daredevil?
It wasn't 5 words, though, so it wouldn't work.
Maybe? Right, there you go, that's 5 words.
Yeah.
Non-rapist Daredevil, maybe?
Maybe, there you go. Four.
And here's a quote I'm going to give from the film. That's four, yeah. here's a quote I'm going to give from the film that, you know, hopefully will help the listeners at home understand how I feel about it. That's my bitch in there. Of course I give a fuck. You can't write better lines than that.
Well, who said
that? Comes from our problematic brown guy. It's from Money. There's a moment where the kid from 13 Reasons is like, oh, I mean, you probably don't give a fuck. And he's like talking under his breath, and Money comes in like, that's my bitch in there. Of course I give a fuck. I'm like, oh my God, what? What?
Damn.
This is why they're all going to, spoiler, not going to say anything.
Exactly. Save for spoilers. I wanted to just quickly ask, because I know I didn't, so I was curious to ask about Fede Alvarez. He remade the Evil Dead movie, and in no uncertain terms was I going to watch it. So I don't care what I heard. I was not going to, I wasn't even going to entertain it. It wasn't something that I was ever wanted anybody to ever do. So I just, okay. When it came out, I heard it was okay. I heard, you know, it's not like the original.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah.
So you did watch it.
There's something funny or campy about it. Yeah.
That it was more serious is what I did hear. But what did you think?
It was very serious.
Yeah.
I remember when I initially saw it, because, man, when did this movie come out? It came out a long time ago now.
This one came out in 2016. The other one probably, I don't know, before that? So 2014, something?
Let me see. Evil Dead. 2013. So I thought it was, I remember seeing it and remember thinking, like, this was fun. It's not Evil Dead. You know, like Evil Dead, those movies are very particular. They got a very particular style. How do I explain this? It's like trying to remake something that really shouldn't be remade.
Yeah.
It's like if somebody you try to remake Cabin in the Woods like 5 years from now or 10 years from now, I'd be like, why? The other one's like pretty good already, or like it's interesting. It's got its own charm.
You're talking about the Joss Whedon one, right?
Oh, we don't have to mention his name, but yeah. So, the Joss Whedon one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But the Evil Dead remake was like a little too serious. Like the whole content itself, like the whole plot. The main girl is like a heroin addict, so her friends force her to this cabin, and she's stuck there to try to wean off it. And there's something about her sister dying. I don't remember the whole thing. I remember some of the effects were really fun. Mm-hmm. Like when certain people turn into like the demons or whatever, that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I remember what's his face? Shiloh Fernandez, right? And I was like, oh, this kid's going to blow up eventually, but he never really got his break, I think.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's about it. Maybe it's not worth watching. I might rewatch it though. I'm going to not do what I say.
Yeah,
and rewatch it anyway. You have no interest, right?
I'm not going to. But I thought it was just interesting because I saw that Ghost House produced this. I know Sam Raimi. That's like his production company, like his small little production company through like a major studio he has, and he produced this movie. So I was just there's a lot of like connections and stuff. Mm-hmm. But what did you think of Don't Breathe?
So I've asked a couple of people that have seen it.
Uh-huh.
And they all said the same thing, like, oh man, it's like really cool. Like you're not gonna expect things and blah blah blah. It was okay. I don't know what else to say about it. It was okay. I wasn't particularly thrilled about certain things. Like I knew something was up with them. I half expected them to be more hardcore. Like I almost thought they were all going to die very quickly and we were going to get like a new set of people coming in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was just okay. I'm not going to say I loved it or I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was a bad movie. Cause it's still interesting and fun.
Yeah. I think there's story stuff I didn't like, meaning like there was none. There was no,
right. There was absolutely no story.
I think they try to tack on a little bit in the beginning for the thieves in the movie.
It was like kind of annoying. Like, let's try to sympathize with these people and like, no, they're the bad guys.
Exactly. I thought there was a mix. I thought like these guys are clearly the bad guys. And they just meet a worse guy.
they just happen to meet a worse guy.
And I think they tried too hard to tack on
their last fucking thing, their last one. It's a bad guy. Like
cliches.
Oh, yeah,
no, sure it's gonna be a bad guy. They hit you really hard with whatever they can to try to mine any kind of character, quote unquote, development from these three thieves. And honestly, it's not needed. Honestly, like for the movie they made. For the movie they made, I think that was like the hardest thing to stomach because it feels very jammed in there. Like it feels like purposely trying to make you care about the thieves and all of this. But at no point did they have a redeeming quality to them. They were bad through the whole movie. You know, like
yeah,
like I don't they're. Her trying to like you know, leave with his money. I wasn't invested in his her story. Like, I didn't care if she got away. I didn't care if she went to California. Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
When she's like, at her house and it's like, oh, no, she's got a shitty home life. Like, too fucking bad. I don't know what to say. Like, that's so many people, but they don't, like, decide to rob people. And it wasn't like she looked like she was living in a small house either, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't. And then it like I felt like I had a hard time deciding who the lead character was.
Yeah. And I think that I feel like they spent I feel like through the course of making this movie, they fell in love with the Stephen Lang character. And they just added more and more things. Oh, what if he does this? And what if he does? I kind of felt like Stephen Lang is a very talented actor. And he was really, really good in this part. Like, I totally understand why they want to make a sequel with this guy, because I really thought he did what he was supposed to. He's like a menacing figure, an unconventional sort of menacing figure, boogeyman that just kind of keeps going and going, unrelenting, right?
Well, what did you think of his, like, because for a second there I was like, oh, what is his voice? But then I realized he's doing an old person voice, like he's like a weathered person. I was like, oh, that's fun.
I thought maybe... I just assumed he didn't talk to anybody, so maybe he had a hard time.
Oh, that's right. Except for the people, except for the spoiler.
And the spoiler and the spoiler.
And the spoiler.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I thought, like, man, if they had just stuck, because they decided that they love the character so much, I was like, why didn't they just make the whole movie about him and then have the flip happen while you're supposed to be behind this guy's. You're like behind this guy the whole time, like, oh, he's a good guy because these guys are breaking into his house.
Yeah,
you just follow him, and then when the reveal happens, you're like, what the fuck? That would have been more of a what the fuck moment. Not like at this point, I was like, ah, who cares? Oh, he's a bad guy too. Just kill the kids already.
Sure. No, I mean,
because they couldn't afford Stephen Lang
for every day.
Yeah,
you get Stephen Lang for 3 days. That's it.
He had 3 days on Tombstone. He had 3 days on Avatar. You only get 3 days with him on Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe. Don't ask for more
in
days.
His contract.
It's horrible. We're painting him. Painting Stephen Lang as a monster. We shouldn't do that.
Yeah. This guy has been like notoriously one of the nicest people in Hollywood, I think. Just making him a monster.
Yeah. But I think what's really fun is just the sort of the where I feel like they're having a lot of fun. It's just all the stuff in the house, the inventiveness. I think there's a lot of really like fun, inventive shots and like scenes and just everything going on in this thing. He's like clearly incredibly confident director. I brought up Evil Dead because I had never seen anything else he's made. This is like my first movie. And I was actually really impressed. He seems like a really confident director in his ability, you know what I mean? Like,
he
co-wrote the script. And I felt like that helped because I felt him being invested in writing the story, you can tell he took time and care on certain things and try to make logical sense for a lot of different stuff that mattered, like the sound matters a lot, right? You know, like, I don't know, maybe it's because I had my TV too loud, but there was a, like, when the glass broke, when things would turn on, like, it was incredibly off-putting or loud, or those things were in place where your typical horror movie may put, like, a jump scare, right? Like, instead it's a beeping of a home alarm, right? They try to, like, I think, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it. I don't know if you saw it this way, but they try to put these little things that sounds that were hiding throughout to kind of build tension that way. Because if you look at the story, if you look at the story like on its face, like it's a very simple story. It's like simple, very, very generic. But I think whatever ideas he had, they really came through. He really did a good job of putting.
No, and I agree with what you're saying. I mean, I think it like all purposeful, right? Because the whole idea is he relies on his hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime like any of these things came out like as jump scares, you're also like, oh fuck, he's gonna hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me back to I thought he was gonna be more of like a super idea, like you said, like a daredevil-esque type of guy.
Yeah, so did I.
Because Because it didn't make a lot of sense for me whenever, like, he would, they'd be talking and trying to be quiet, and then they turn, and then all of a sudden he's there, like he heard something.
Right.
You know, and then he just kind of walks away from it, like, oh, it was nothing. And then his dog was always locked up in the wrong room.
Yeah, that was super funny. The dog, he had, like, I don't know, the dog was everywhere. The dog was just a plot device for every room. One thing I liked was, somebody who's blind would do stuff like that. They try to familiarize yourself with different things in their house, right? I mean, right. Like, they take so many steps, they touch things and stuff like that. So, of course, he would know his home, right? He would know his home through and through. So, robbing a blind person who is this intelligent, you know what I mean? Who has reached a certain point or whatever, it makes sense that he would have all these sort of things planned out. When we first talked about the movie, I thought so too, that he was going to be like this almost supernatural thing to his blindness, but it isn't. He's just blind.
He's just blind. It happens to be an army vet too or something like that, but
right,
blind.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm actually hoping that the sequel that's coming out is more of that. Is more of him just being like,
right,
oh, you have no idea what I'm capable of type of guy.
Well, see, the sequel is now they're going to heighten it, right? They're going to super him, similar to like Rambo 2 or like John Wick. His powers are he's going to be doing this amazing things that, like,
even though his daughter in this is like, oh, there's a problem with this, right? You know, he's a bad guy for having this daughter sort of thing. Yeah. Sort of figure.
It was weird. It was weird. Yeah. I knew something was up. I didn't expect what we got. I could say that to a degree.
Oh, I didn't expect the way it would go about. So
similar. Yeah.
How? Yeah. Let's go. Why don't we go into spoilers? Cause I just want to say two words.
All right.
Wait, no. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Cause we're about to go into
spoilers.
So we're going to spoilers, and I gotta say, the moment he captures, you find out that he's like captured the girl that killed his daughter, and he thought the only right thing to do is to like make sure that she produced another daughter for him.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Like, the girl is up in like stirrups, but she's also like hanging, but she's hanging like super high.
Yeah.
I was like, what is he gonna do? Like, fuck her with a turkey baster? And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Turkey baster.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no. And then at the end, I completely fucking forgot that she has a daughter, a younger sister.
I didn't pay enough attention. I think it's her daughter.
I don't think that was clarified. I thought it was her daughter too.
Yeah, yeah.
But when she popped up, I was like, oh no, he did get her pregnant. And then it took me like 2 minutes before I was like, oh yeah, she was in the beginning of the movie.
She was in the beginning of the movie. Yeah. I actually don't fault you at all for not remembering. There was some sort of...
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
She should have... I mean, I feel like she should have just died, not gotten away.
It's interesting she got away. Yeah. That's another choice I don't understand, because this is a fairly simple story. You know, I don't think I feel like they knew they didn't want to kill her, so they tried to tack on, okay, well, you have a daughter, sister, that's and you want to get away, and you're a ladybug and all this BS. Yeah. And
yeah the ladybug
thing. Yeah.
But it's also like, I don't give a fuck. It's still bullshit that she got away with the money. Like, yeah. I was like, no, that's bullshit.
That's his money.
That made me so pissed. I was like, I don't care what person he is. Like, she didn't earn that. I'm sorry if she's had hard on her luck, but that's not like, again, she's not the only person on earth that has a bad home life, and people have it way worse.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It was really difficult to sympathize with any of these characters. Because they're thieves, they're bad people, you know.
Yeah, and then again, our like one person of color is just an idiot.
Yeah,
it's like there's nothing else about him. You know nothing else about the guy. You get a backstory for the two white people, but you get nothing for this guy. So you just assume he's like a gangbanger idiot or something.
Yeah, I agree. I think they also, I mean, I think they cast Stephen Lang so strong. It was like,
right.
He's just so perfect for this part. I totally saw where they just, we need more Stephen Lang in this movie.
we
got to have him. He's just on fire in this movie. He's so good in this movie. I was really impressed with him.
Because all these other actors are like great for like maybe television shows, right? But for like a film like this, I'm like, oof. Like you can, whenever they're acting opposite of Stephen Lang, it's like very apparent. It looks like this giant amongst like children.
Yeah.
Like the quality wasn't matching.
Definitely, yeah.
Except for the dog. The dog was really good.
The dog was really good.
Did you notice that one scene where he's supposed to be menacing and the dog fucking smiling?
I saw it. He's just crawling.
I was like, I just want to give that guy a cuddle. Yeah. He just wants belly rubs.
Yeah, I know exactly the scene you're talking about. He's in the air conditioned vent and he's crawling. He's supposed to be
he's so happy
to like just be going directly towards the camera. Yeah, it was awesome. But yeah, I mean, I mean, aside from those small things, I was really satisfied with the movie. Not with the ending, not with the setup, but just whatever happened in the house and pretty much
Stephen Lang.
Stephen Lang, yeah.
Just Stephen Lang. I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. Every time he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
But whenever they went back to like the other story, I was like, ah, I don't care. Go back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just go back to Stephen Lang.
No.
Let him talk more. He sounds cool.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, what else is there to say about the movie? Again, the movie was very simple.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Absolutely.
Was not a thinker.
No, was it? I think I'm curious to see what a sequel is. I feel like they're just gonna go the other way. They're gonna make it something. You're gonna make it an action movie now, right? I mean, there's no way they can make this movie twice. You know what I mean? Like
impossible. Especially because they make it seem like the three people again. It's like another three people, but it's all guys. I think this time. Right. The three guys are very aware of who he is.
Oh.
Is what it sounds like. They know who he is, and that's why they kidnapped that girl, the daughter, quote-unquote. But yeah, you get more cool little things, like he turns off the lights, and he's like, now you're going to see what I see, or something like that. All right. I could have had some more stuff like that in this movie.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I like the way it was shot. I like the idea of being, you know, pitch black and them trying to fill around the room, try to get out. That had like a fun premise to it. The idea.
Yeah. Too bad he's a horrible shot.
I know. Just a single noise. Boom. Shoot. He just waste all his bullets.
Oh, man.
It's pretty funny.
I feel we should wrap it up, but I got to like bring up one more part.
Okay.
When that 13 Reasons Why kid opens up the door, I'm like, he's going to get killed right here, right? Like, this is taking forever.
Yeah.
When he finally opens up that front door, like, Stephen Lang's going to shoot him or something, right? Bam. Gets shot in the face.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree.
That was quick.
Definitely, yeah. Cool. So, let's go into... Do you have any final thoughts?
No, not really. I would say I think it's worth a watch, for sure. Don't go in expecting putting this guy on a pedestal, but like a James Wan level movie, right?
No.
It's definitely not that. It's still fun.
I agree. I thought it was really fun. I was really impressed with a lot of the direction and set pieces throughout the movie. Not terribly happy with the story they try to write around it, but...
Right.
There's a really, really nice performance by Stephen Lang in this. But yeah. So, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know. Sexy spooky bones. No, wait, don't.
don't do that. Just rate the movie.
Okay. I'm going to give this one 6 sexy turkey basters.
I'm going to give this 7 turkey basters full of cum in the mouth.
That part I was like, I was going to say I could have done with that, but I was like, nah, it was great.
Yeah, he just got all of it. It's just so gross.
He was about to rape that poor girl with it, and then it just straight into his mouth.
No, yeah, that was awful. That was just the
That was a moment where I was like, was this a 3D movie? It might have been a 3D movie.
Just little things that come flying at you, floating in your face.
Just sploosh
just
to the
bits
tube.
It out and just blah, just all over your face. 3D.
Good stuff.
Yeah, well, that's
great,
what
great, thick, good stuff.
I think they should just make the third one and make it 3D.
Yeah, it's nothing but turkey basters full of cum. Like, he's got them all prepped.
He's now a janitor in a sperm clinic. Just shots.
His calling card.
Just shots and cum and everywhere. Shooting everywhere at your screen.
I'd watch it.
I mean, we're going to watch the sequel, so, right?
Might as well. So go ahead and start making that film, Fed Alvarez.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's not even making the second one. It's the co-writer. The co-writer is the director. He couldn't be bothered making the sequel for this one. No, I'm sure they had good reason. I'm sure he's working on something good. All right. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to go.